Hey SEOs and content marketers, say goodbye to crazy spreadsheet mashups and experience unprecedented connectivity between your SEO planning and reporting data. Introducing Audience Key, technology for keyword mapping, content brief automation, and rank tracking that form an SEO strategy system providing unparalleled feedback loops between planning, reporting, and optimization activities. Put your time and energy into strategy, not data upkeep. Visit audiencekey.com and apply for a free trial today.
Here on WMR, it is the 25th of July, 2024, and as I mentioned just a couple seconds ago, there's a core update coming down the pipe. We don't know where, we don't know when, we just know it's coming, and it's coming soon. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media, and Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls.
Hey, everybody.
And, Christine, core update. We know it's coming. We're being warned. We're being warned well in advance, or maybe it's coming tomorrow. What do you think?
Barry seeing a lot of volatility, but that happens often these days.
Barry's always seeing a lot of volatility.
Yeah, I think it's because of all the experiments Google's always running on the layouts and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, but they did say it'd be a few weeks. So we'll see.
Sometime
in the next, they said a week ago. So maybe in the next 2 weeks.
Okay, so we shouldn't do this too much, okay? And shouldn't get too deep into this, but this is like 100% speculation world. What do you think is going to be in it? Why are they doing this?
I think there's going to be a fix to the helpful content problem where the site-wide took all those sites out. You and I even know one of the sites from a client we used to work with. So these sites... A lot of these sites don't, I've looked at a lot of them. They don't look like they should have been taken out. So we'll see. But they kept telling people at first, like, maybe your site's just bad and you should walk away from it. Really said that. And then maybe it'll take 2 or 3 updates. Maybe you'll get something, you know, but it might be 1 update, but we don't know when. And now they're like, it's coming out and some people should see recovery. So,
okay. So if you've held on this long, hold on a little while longer. Heaven knows you've held on this long.
Yes.
That's basically the message, right?
Right. Like, yeah, basically. Well, I hope it is a fix because I still believe, this is just my personal opinion, that something went wrong with machine learning. Because when they rolled out that site-wide, everyone thought it would recover the sites. So that then they would apply the page wide, which is normally how they work when they change algorithms. Like when they put Penguin into the core, they did a Penguin rollout that reset all the sites that could be reset, you know, the ones that all did the work. And then they put in the core and then they changed how it worked. But they rolled out the site wide, but nobody recovered from all the 1,000 sites that people are tracking. And then they went to the page level, which is just kind of an odd way to do things.
Well, one of the problems that you have with core updates and pinning specific rises and falls on something that happened in the update itself is they're kind of like omnibus legislation, where you put a whole bunch of stuff in, all, you know, like, this is going to stitch together 6 or 7 different things we've been working on. And so it was probably a helpful, with this one client that we were talking about before, that you mentioned, this joint client we'd worked on. My first thought is, yeah, it was probably helpful content, but those chuckleheads could have goofed a whole bunch of different stuff, to be honest.
Yeah, and it's not
because they regularly did.
They did. It's not, but with them, it's not that content, right? Then it was technical stuff that happened like every day. So I don't think it, I think that core updates often have a lot of technical components. The helpful has been moved into the core update. It's been, you know, I don't know if they're treating them separately inside the update or if they're all the same thing now. But most of the sites I'm looking at that have been hit and not fairly, they have good content and they just thought they have like bad page layout, page design, technical issues and stuff like that. So I guess we'll know in a couple of weeks because I'm watching like 7 or 8 sites. We'll see. I mean, like sites I actually know. Some people hired me, some I just offered my services to help them identify their key problems so they could try to recover. But yeah, we'll see.
Indeed, we'll see. And there's no guarantee that, you know, this update probably has something to do with helpful. Google and Google's spokespeople have hinted it has something to do with helpful.
Yes.
But we don't know that it does. We don't know that it doesn't. Maybe there's a recovery coming. Maybe there isn't.
They have hinted that some should recover. They have said
They
that.
certainly have. I just don't want to get people's hopes up. I
I
just
don't
want to
either.
be really clear in our framing of this.
And if you haven't done the work yet, you're running out of time to get, or
Already
you
out of
might
time.
already be running out.
You've had 10 months now since the first one hit, back
Well, but
in
no one's
like
ever
September.
recovered from that one. Yeah, that's the one no one's recovered from.
Well, indeed, but you've had if you've if you got hit by that one, you've had 10 months to do work on your website. If you got hit
Yes.
by the one that happened during the March core update, you've had what, like 3, 4 months to work on your website. I think the time to work on your website is rapidly passing, if not already passed.
I think the thing is, though, a lot of people aren't really aware of what they're supposed to work on because they have changed. Now, originally it was just content. And then, like in March or April, they said, well, it could be content or other things. What other things?
Indeed.
What
Well,
other
but other
things?
things, you know what? Helpful content isn't just about content. It's about, how the page works, how the user flows from A to B to C to conversion decision.
And call it helpful site update or something. Helpful content update. Maybe it's not just content. What? So anyway, I will
And
say that
actually, I want to
lot.
correct something I just said. When I said that the time to work on your site is long over, I was wrong. Actually, it's always time to work on your website.
Yes.
But
This
you
is true. But
might.
for this update, you're probably not gonna, if you haven't started, you don't have time. Yeah.
Sometimes updates go awry very badly. So after we got off the air last week, like the next day, everything just wasn't there. At least for what, 8.5 million like Windows users. Last Friday, the biggest outage in internet history happened. And I feel
Yeah,
fine.
I use a Mac, so I was good too. And I wasn't traveling. I play a game called Blood on the Clock Tower, a social deduction game, on Friday night. And someone goes, Christine's being quiet. She's evil. I told the person he works in tech. I go, check your phone. And he's like, oh. I was like, yeah. So it was massive. It affected so many systems in the world. It's crazy how, like, there should be processes in place. You test it on some, you roll it out, you test it on, they didn't stage it.
You know,
They
it's
didn't.
funny. I was trying to explain this to my dad, and I was saying exactly
Yeah.
that. There are protocols when you
Yeah.
introduce, when you update a website, there are protocols you follow, and you follow them every time for a good reason.
I did read a good, it was analysts. Suggestion. He didn't say he knew for fact. He hadn't done all the research, but he knows that the tech companies have been just, laying off, laying off, laying off. And he's like, yeah, see, that's why you don't do that. So people saw Musk do it and thought, oh, everything's running great at Twitter. By the way, it's not,
It's not.
but it's not at all. It's terrible. But they see that the CEOs, I see them on LinkedIn. Oh, they talk about how they just laid off all these people because they did like Musk. And well, and the guy, the analyst was saying, hey, guys, you need your tech people and you pay them this money because they prevent things like this from happening. And he thought that the lack of protocol, the lack of testing, the lack of staging, all those things that you normally would have in any rollout. If I roll out a website on WordPress for a local hairstylist, I'm going to check all that stuff, right?
So
So,
again, there are protocols you follow every
yeah.
time. That way, if you do mess up, you know the order of operations in which the mess up might have happened. I mean,
So,
like,
yeah.
it's crazy that they didn't follow that. It's crazy. And I think you're absolutely right. I think they laid off the people who should have been doing this because they wanted to save money. And 9 times out of 10, you might probably be able to get away with this, but
No, not even 9 out of 10. I think maybe one
I
time
mean,
out of ten.
you cannot bet on this. And this is a
No.
security company. This was a cybersecurity
Yeah.
company. You cannot bet on this. That's
Yeah.
insane.
Apparently, in layman's terms, they sent something into the root system that wound up looping, and that loop crashed all the Windows-based products, whatever anyone was using. So it's here's the interesting though, kind of talks to what we're talking to. So CrowdStrike has a whole memo on this, you can go to their site and they have actually the preliminary post-incident review with everything you need to do if you've been affected. But it says, how are you going to improve? Local developer testing, content update and rollback testing, stress testing, fuzzing and fault injection, stability testing, content interface testing, any additional validation checks to the content validator for rapid response content, and guard against, there's a new check inside to guard against this type of problematic rollout in the future. I'm sorry, why weren't they already doing all that?
Indeed, eh?
That's been standard since I started in tech in, I don't want to say this, but 1998. So
do you know, did you hear how they're making it up to users? How making it up to people who are affected?
I heard, I'll let you say,
$10 Uber Eats card. A gift card.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that's like a pizza party, but smaller.
I mean, I get it because they like impacted the world. So they probably have like 100 million.
That is a lot of Uber Eats, that's for sure.
Yeah. So it's almost like if that's all you can do, don't do that. Like offer them like your services free to help remediate, or $10 Uber Eats. That's silly. But that also shows maybe there's not, they laid off too many people. But I just think that's just crazy that it rolled out like that. There was no, all the protocols you do on any rollout for anything in tech, none of them seem to be followed or be a part of the plan.
Good enough isn't good enough. That's yeah, I don't know how else to phrase it. We have a culture that has fallen down to good enough is good enough, and it isn't. These are world critical systems.
Yeah. And you know what else this does? It also says this makes them now a target of all the hackers that have some sophisticated abilities, because now they know if they mess up that tool and they roll it out through their system, they can shut down whatever they want.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going into even more energized election coming up in November at a nation state near you.
There's elections.
There's an election coming, and that means tons and tons and tons of BS is also coming. Just loads of it.
Because
it happens
started.
Every election, right?
Yes.
But the thing about most elections is the BS, and there's loads of it, tends to come from a limited number of places. Candidates' mouths, their surrogates, their spokespeople, their campaigners, their spinners, and all that sort of stuff. But it's a limited number. You could count them on you could count them within thousands, tens of thousands of people. Not this year. This year is going to be a free for all with AI lunacy, is it, I guess. Like, just, you know, that the whole spectrum is going to be filled with BS just for the sake of confusing voters. And so the FCC is trying to get new rules on AI and political ads, but the changes probably won't take place until after the next election, until after they're also litigated. So
yeah, you think they might have thought about this earlier.
Maybe, yeah.
There was a robocall that went out. Who did it mimic? I think it mimicked Biden. President Biden. But anyway, yeah, just remember, folks, when you see it or hear it, it does not mean it's real. Go to a source that's trusted for fact checking and check there. And then it may still not be 100% real, but at least you know there's a 99% likelihood. Like if you go to AP fact check, AP News fact check, or Reuters fact check, or something like that, because they're going to make audios with people's voices now. They can take their image and put their voice to it and create a whole video, and the person was never a part of it or never said any of those things or did any of those things. That's how advanced the AI is, especially when it comes to video and audio. So just be really careful. If you see it, don't believe it until you verify it. If you're outraged by it or emotionally charged by it, chances are someone is trying to manipulate you. So check it first.
Now, an important service announcement here. If you have invested a whole bunch of money or tokens in creating AI avatars of President Biden, you're not getting a refund. Just don't even ask. They're not you might be able to charge it back on your credit card, but they've probably already dinged it. So don't even try that.
What are you charging? I missed the first
There
part
was
there.
that was supposed to be a joke on the Trump
Oh,
campaign, trying to get a
oh.
refund for all the money they've invested going after Biden
Oh,
to this
that's right.
point.
Yes. In the ads. Yes,
Yeah,
yes,
so
yes.
if you spend a whole bunch on getting Biden related AI to cause your own chaos in the election, you're not getting a refund. It's just not gonna happen.
And by the way, if for people who don't know, this isn't just about elections, it's about everything but for elections. Any candidate who's running and they run Facebook ads, you can go to their ad library and you can see every ad that they run and who they're targeting. So it's kind of an interesting way to check out what your candidates are doing.
There you go. Okay. So this is kind of a this is I'm not sure how I feel about this. In some ways, I think it's really limiting to the ability of people to use a platform properly. And in others, I can it's a great idea. And it's weird saying that about X, but Twixter has a new option that they're testing for users. You put a post up, you can limit the clickability of links that other people might put into your thread as a response to your post. So you could put up something and somebody might want to refute it, and you can disable their ability to post a clickable link. Or at the same time, you might be avoiding parasites who jump into popular tweet streams and, sort of use the attention that TweetStream is getting to sell Cialis or Viagra or something else that you can click to. What do you think? I think that's like a good thing and a bad thing at the same time.
Yeah, I have to go with the person who's running the company and their usual intentions. The thing about someone parasiting your stream is rare. Like, it rarely happens. I had a post get 500, 600,000, no, 800,000 views last week. And I didn't get any parasites, but I did get, oh, so many bots and fake accounts. Unfortunately, it's my post, and when it's my post, I can hide the reply and then block the person. That's awesome. But
And you know
I don't
what?
what's
If
that?
those bots are going to be coming after you and trying to post bogus, links away from the point you were trying to make, maybe this is a good tool for you.
They don't usually do that, though. It's very rare that bots and fake accounts post many links. I actually think this is a way to limit the ability of people to refute fake news. And unfortunately, the owner of this company likes to repost fake news all the time. Like, he was one of the main posters that Biden was dead last week, which was
Yes.
the number one trend last week. So I think it's just the inability of people to post at Musk when he posts things that
Did
are wrong.
you hear that the owner of that company has again challenged the owner of that other company to like rumble and get it on and have a big fight?
Oh no, we're gonna have to report on this again.
You know what? I really do want to report on this, but I want to report on the event itself. I will pay
Yeah, that'd be
anything on
great.
pay-per-view to watch this
Hey,
happen, and I will report it live on WMRFM should the producers show up to record it.
if they do it in
Absolutely.
Vegas, maybe we can get some donations to send me down there and get a VIP seat so I can see it up close and take video.
There you go.
So, if anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, it's Elon Musk and Zuckerberg had Musk challenged Zuck to a fight, and then I think he realized that Zuck has been doing MMA events and maybe it wouldn't be a good idea for him, so he backed
Well,
out.
just the other day, he backed in again, and Musk is again challenging Zuckerberg to a fight. And I, for one, if I had $45 billion, I'd give 3 months worth of $45 billion to see that happen. But I don't, so not going to happen.
Yeah, he now says he's not donating, so he didn't ever said that he was. I don't know. I don't care anymore.
Well, 45 million a month might buy you a candidate, but do you know what 60 million buys you?
Oh, I know. I know where you're going.
60 million buys you exclusive access to crawl Reddit. Reddit
And
has blocked using its robot. Sorry?
not just call, but index.
Oh, to crawl and
See?
index
Yeah.
content from Reddit. Yeah, because Reddit has blocked everybody else in the robot's text file.
Yes.
Incidentally, lots of people pay attention to robot text files.
They do. You know what? I haven't even looked at it yet. I saw this story and I'm like, forgot to go check. So I'm gonna go over there right now while we're talking.
Okay, well, you can, if you want to go see Reddit content, you will not see it on Bing. You will not see it on DuckDuckGo. You're not going to see it on Brave. You're not going to see it on any of the third-tier search engines whose names are escaping me right now but are out there somewhere. But you will see it on Google because Google paid $60 million for the exclusive right to show it to you.
You know what the interesting thing is?
Hmm?
I've never seen this on a site intentionally. It is user agent asterisk disallow all. So Google's getting a feed, obviously. They're getting a direct fire hose of some sort. If it doesn't like, allow for Googlebot, it just disallow all.
Funnily enough, you will never be told at Bing to use Staples to hold pineapple on pizza. Not once. No one's going to tell you that. But you might at Google. Because that could still happen from Reddit.
I do wonder what this does to their issues with being called a monopoly. So I mean, they have cases this summer about being a monopoly. They, you know, are at DOJ last year about being a monopoly, and the EU wants to break them up from being a monopoly. And then you take Reddit content, and the only way people can search for it is through you. I don't know. It seems like it might be borderline.
I mean, obviously, this is all about finding training pools for AI to train in, to learn from. And I think the argument could be made, we've bought a pool. Simple as that. I don't know if that's a good argument or not. I am so not a lawyer, but honestly, that's what it comes down to. They bought a pool.
Yeah, the weird thing about buying that pool, though, it led to some of the most disastrous AI overview results.
Well, okay, and yeah. I do not, you know, the truth is, I do not know that there was an AI overview result about using Staples to keep pineapple on pizza. There was one about using Elmer's glue to keep cheese on pizza.
Because you have to make sure the glue's non-toxic. That's why it was Elmer's.
Well, indeed. I mean, as most North American school children know, you can eat the stuff, you can snort the stuff, you can boil the stuff. Heck, you can mainline the stuff, and you'll be just fine.
You can put it on your hands and then peel it off. That's what I did when
you
I was
You can also kid. Do that. That's not what I did with it when I was a kid. But, you know, that's why we have different personalities, I think. Okay, or, you know, but speaking of different personalities, you can be like Anthropic and just completely ignore robots text and any anti-scraping policies. Sure. So, Claude bought... provided a problem for a website, iFixit, by showing up and not leaving, closing, going through every door, every window, every nook, every cranny, every crevice, opening every cupboard and closing it loudly over it, and flushing the toilet over and over and over and over again.
Swish, swish.
So Claude shows up and just completely trashes iFixit's web server by making a gajillion or so queries on it. Thing is, the iFixit had in its robot text files and in plain text on its contact page said specifically, "Don't bug me." Said, "Go away." Told it it was completely forbidden.
You know, back in the day when we get those bot attacks through like Google, like tons of bots would just show up at your site. And one of my friends said, "I made a honeypot and then I throw it back at them. And then it keeps looping and looping and looping until it shuts them down." That could be a way to handle it.
for an AI like Anthropic or any, iFixit would be one of those content pools. Could you imagine what you could learn at iFixit for an AI crawler?
Well, why not just pay them? Seriously. Like,
well,
don't.
That...
I mean, no, the robots text I don't think it has legal backing. I could be wrong, but I don't think there's any legal backing there. But seriously, if I was them, or if I was a big company and they were crawling me like that, I would find a nice white hat hacker and have them do funny things back to their bots.
Well, the worst, most ironic thing is you can republish content from iFixit. There's a provision to do that. You can license the content and license your right to use their content. They allow you to do that.
Licensing, that's a big thing there. It's a big word AI
But,
companies don't
I
even
just
know.
think it's kind of an important point. Like, this is a
Yeah,
website that would
right.
actually sell information that other websites could use. You're
Yeah.
not plagiarizing because you've purchased the right to use it.
Right.
So what Anthropic is doing is literally stomping the business model. And it's not like it's
It's
stomping the
killing.
business model like it is for any other website.
It's
Selling
killing.
information is the business model of these
Yeah.
guys.
And that's a little different than regular websites, right?
Yeah.
Because people make these silly arguments like, oh, it's on the web. It's, like the head of Microsoft's AI. Oh, we can just take it because it's on the web. No, it's not how law works. But since they sell their content, now they're just stealing.
That
Yeah, they went into the
does make it a little
store and
different.
they went into the store in the middle of the night and said, oh, you're not here. I'm going to take it. Kind of, because doors stop you like a robot section. So yeah, so that's a little interesting. I think that's an interest might become an interesting legal case.
So, you know that old saying, if at first you don't succeed, try a little tenderness.
No.
Oh, okay. Now, if at first you don't
That
succeed, try again. That's it. Sorry, my
oh,
mistake.
gotcha. Like bees bring honey, not vinegar.
Something like
Honey
that.
brings bees, sorry.
Okay, so anyway, Microsoft is testing a new Bing generative search experience, and actually, I think this is one that SEOs and AI heads can agree on, because it provides 10 blue links, and it provides an AI overview, and it provides, ample advertising space, and it's actually a really clever layout and use of the screen space. That I think really gets a lot of packs, a lot of options for the user onto the search results page.
Yeah, I talked to the head of the guy of this project on Twitter last night, and it is much better than Google's, and they actually do show you the sources. And by the way, these aren't sources, so people understand. They run a co-process to ground the search in a source, but the AI model is still just a large language model writing predictive content, but it's based on that search. But I really would prefer the organic results to be in the center and the other stuff to be on the right. So we suggested to the head that maybe you could have a toggle to turn it off. See, I have no use for the AI overview stuff because you don't know if it's right or wrong, and I don't have time to figure it out. And when I'm searching for something, usually it's very important whether it's right or wrong. But yeah, it's a much better layout. It's a much better concept than what Google's been doing. So I think people will like it. I've been using Bing more and more lately because I just can't find anything in Google. Like search is just so broken. But I would prefer without that result. But if you don't like AI, it still isn't it's not as obnoxious as Google's.
Now, cool thing I like about layouts like this is if there is any cause and effect to see, I don't know if there is, I haven't played with this long enough. It's going to take weeks, if not longer, of testing, and it's going to have to be a lot of people doing testing and comparing their results together. But if there is any cause and effect to see, it's so much more visible in this kind of layout than what Google's doing. We have to scroll up and down and actually hunt and peck for information and look for things. Google's way is much faster if you're just looking for a, for want of a better word, an overview of the text that was read from many of the websites that made up Google's corpus of knowledge. That's great. You get it immediately. You get to read it, then you have to scroll down to find stuff just to confirm whether it's right or wrong. The way Microsoft has it, Bing has it, it's much simpler. You can look to the left, you can look to the right, you can look to the bottom of the screen, and then
Yeah.
you can choose to scroll if you need to.
And it also looks like the amount of space it takes up is set.
Now, isn't
So it's
that
not.
weird? Because it doesn't look, things don't look smaller, things don't look out of place, and they don't look weird, but
Yeah.
they
Yeah.
managed the layout quite elegantly.
They did. And it looks, and I don't know because I haven't used it yet. We're just seeing screenshots and video. But it does look like the answer area is pretty set. I don't see any expand to it, and I don't see like It's just because of the way it's laid out, it just looks like it's going to be pretty set. Maybe it'll be a little bigger, a little smaller, but I don't think it's going to be massively bigger, massively smaller. Like, I wouldn't hate Google so much if I could just collapse it, but they don't let you collapse. This is also a mixture of large language models and small language models, which small language models are supposed to be better at matching content and being more accurate because they're not doing as many functions. So let's see, but people should give it a try. I do have a feeling if Google doesn't start working their stuff out, Bing actually might pick up share this year. Well, I've been 20
Maybe,
years, but.
but we're still, I mean, after all this time, they're still in the single digits
They
of
are. They
market
are.
share.
They are. But as Google gets worse, I just find myself going to, when I do the research for the show every week, I use Bing now. I don't use Google at all.
Mean, I'm rooting for them. Don't get me wrong, I'm rooting for Bing, and I root for competition in the marketplace big time,
Yes,
especially
me
if it's
too.
good, innovative competition that pushes, you know. Do you remember what it was like when we had like Bing, or we had Microsoft Live, Google, Ask in its dying but still great days, and Yahoo, and the four of them pushed each other around?
Yes,
That was wonderful.
it was a lot of fun, and we had to know all the algorithms for all the search engines, which made it
Well,
very
it was
dynamic.
certainly, yeah, certainly it was harder in some aspects, certainly,
Oh, it's good
but
though. It made you think.
well, not just that, they made each other innovate.
Yes.
You couldn't just rest on your laurels or rest on good enough, because somebody would come and eat your lunch if you did. It
Yes,
was
exactly.
excellent. Okay, moving right along. If you make it, you gotta use it. You gotta use it, and if
I
you aren't
do.
using it, you gotta get your users using it. That's how you get stuff going, right? Okay. So Google is giving free Gemini is giving free access to Gemini users access to faster, lighter 1.5 Flash AI model. Gemini AI is going to be faster, and it's if you're a Gemini user, you're getting free access to a new
What did they call it though?
iteration of it.
What did they call it? Did you see what they called the model?
What's the name of the model?
Flash. Can't they find new words in tech?
Really?
It's
It's called Flash?
called, yeah, so from Microsoft, MSN. Google's making its Gemini AI faster and more efficient across the board. You now have access to 1.5 Flash. It's generative AI model designed to be able to generate responses more quickly and efficiently. Does any of them do a brand search? Oh, by the way, someone told me yesterday they're working on a site that still has Flash at the base of the site. Like,
The
how does it
funny thing
even
is, when I
function?
saw this in the story tree,
Yes.
I was seeking flash storage. That's when I saw flash, I'm
That's
thinking
probably what they
storage. First
mean.
thing that
But
comes
yeah,
to my head.
Flash storage,
Well,
flash
because how
is a.
else would they speed things up, right? Except by coming up with more efficient storage space.
I agree. I just think they should look at other brand names before they roll out stuff. This is commonly happening. You and I both know. They keep reusing words. So.
And this actually goes quite well with the with one of our show's many mottos: never let engineers name stuff.
Exactly. Oh, and if you're too young to remember Flash, Flash is how you did like animation and kind of pseudo video on the web before you could really do that because of the bandwidth. It's
Google
actually
used to
pretty
hate
elegant back in the
Flash.
day. It did because it couldn't read it. But it was a pretty, I mean, there was some really pretty stuff done in Flash. Like it was pretty cool for designers and artists, but it was terrible for Google.
Whenever
But back then, Google was pretty young and they didn't have dominance yet.
I reported that Google hated Flash, I would get hate mail from Flash developers. For real, for true.
Oh, I hated having to code in it. It was terrible. But it did make some pretty elegant designs for the a web at the time that was pretty inelegant, so.
Okay, so this is actually a bigger story than users might think it, or than listeners might think, because they haven't heard it for a while. It's so much has happened since the last time we talked about this, but cookies are not off the table.
No.
We thought, I'm thinking it was like had to be 6, maybe 7 years ago, we were talking about cohorts of things, Google's way to get around this problem. So let's go back a whole bunch of years. The EU says you can't use cookies to track people on websites because it's too easy to identify who they are and it's a massive privacy concern and all that stuff. Well, it's completely understandable because cookies really are a massive privacy concern and all that stuff. And this is why you have to have that cookie warning that gives people options about how cookies will be used on the website, which causes all sorts of their own problems, but we're not going to talk about that right now. But that's, but there's good reason to have that regulation. Trade-offs, right? Okay, so ultimately the goal was to kill cookies, get rid of cookies, come up with some other way of tracking users around the web and figuring the value of their actions and their visits and whatnot. Cookies also track what you do so you don't see the same ads over and over and again, and so your checkout cart works. I mean, all the stuff that tracking what you do helps what you do.
Yes.
And as it turns out, they can't find a better way to do it than throwing a cookie at you and seeing what the cookie tells them about you.
I love how it was written in Forbes. I was confirmed bad news for 3 billion Chrome users. You still will be tracked. It says, in a shock move, Google abruptly confirmed on Monday that its long-awaited killing of the Chrome dreaded tracking cookie just crashed and burned. The company was struggling to agree on an approach with regulators that balanced its own interests with those of the wider marketing industry, but no one expected this. It sounds like the entry to a novella or something. So yeah, so they're not dropping them. They're looking at approach which will elevate user choice where users can decide what they want to use. But according to this author, and I agree with them, most people won't even know that that's a thing. And
Well,
so
they
they'll still
won't,
be
but you know
cookies.
what's going to happen, right? We already have option overlays that allow you to decide what you do, what type of cookies you'll receive, how they will function, all that sort of stuff. This is chaotic. I mean, it weirds me out. We're going to get different bits of information about people, about groups of people. You know what I mean?
Well, they're still not necessarily going to do groups. They'll still do cookies. You're just going to opt in. And
Well,
if you opt
indeed,
in, and then they'll come up with something else for the alternative. I did. I didn't. I, go ahead. Go ahead.
what I'm trying to get at is think of the information that cookies give an e-com website. Think of the information. Two of the websites I work with use cookies to track abandoned shopping carts and what was in those shopping carts so that we can remarket to those people.
And you get that handy dandy email that says you left the stuff in the shopping cart. And I'm like, I know, I was waiting to see what you would offer me.
Oh, well, you're welcome. There you go.
Exactly.
I never really figured, I could never figure out how they were going to step away from cookies to begin with, but more mess aroundery from the user level. And also, this is a Chrome product, so you know when they introduce it to any website, any webmaster puts it on the website, everything is going to grind so slow suddenly, right? Because it's a Chrome product. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, exactly. But
So,
it will be interesting to see. Go ahead, go ahead.
it just so worries me. That's all. It worries me. It worries me
Yeah,
just hearing.
it does. It does. Although I did learn by reading the story today, I missed a cool commercial from Apple that mimicked Hitchcock's The Birds, in a pro-safari promotion about privacy and how you're being spied on by Google. So I have to watch that now. I mean, so far Apple's been pretty good about privacy. So obviously there are ways to do it and still function, because I do understand Google's concern is they wouldn't be able to really function and target people appropriately, like when people want to be targeted. Like I like those shopping cart reminders. Sometimes I go through the checkout and I think I finished it, and some of the companies I use, their checkout process is kind of wonky, and I haven't finished it. So I find out, what do you mean I didn't what? And I go back and I'm like, oh, okay, I had to click one more button. So they can be helpful, but there should be limits or options where they're not tracking everything about you. Like Facebook, who can track even non-users of Facebook across the web. That's bad. So
Okay,
anyway, yeah, go ahead.
this is actually this is almost this is another privacy thing. There's a new Chrome browser warning you might see. that says your encrypted file has been scanned.
Yes.
What's happened is Google Chrome has learned how to open and close encrypted files looking for malware. Once it's scanned and declared to be safe, malware free, then you get a message. The contents of these files are only scanned for security purposes, so deleted shortly after verdict is returned. Oh, I'm sorry. You get a message saying all's good, and Google says they're only scanning for security purposes. They're deleting anything that they find after a clean verdict is returned. So if you do see this, if you've opted into safe browsing enhanced protection mode, your encrypted files may well be scanned, but again, don't worry, Google's throwing out the data later.
Yeah, what you're doing is when you agree to it, it sends it to a Google scanner, and then it uses AI and other processes to go through deeply in the document. I don't know how they're able to get through all the encryption, so that probably can only go so far. But then it sends it back to you, and it says that it's clean or it's not, or that they cleaned it. So it sounds like actually a positive. I don't do safe search though. So I don't know that you can get it outside of that,
Yeah.
but
So in a recent Google Office Hours, Gary Ease has confirmed that if your top level domain is, a localized language, your page caters to that localized language and local area, and you have a local top level domain, you're probably going to rank better for searches conducted from that locale.
from local.
So, the question was, when a Korean person searches Google in Korean, does a com.kr domain or a .com domain do better? Generally, the com.kr should do better, provided the site, matches the criteria and such, the search criteria and
Well,
such.
and it plays into something that Google already does for local, which is like in Vegas, people are like, I'll never be able to rank in Vegas. Well, yeah, you can, because there's local slots in the search results for people to see who live there. So if you're like looking for hairstylists in Vegas, you're gonna see a whole bunch of strip. Josh's gonna see locals because that's how Google designed local. So this sounds like a very similar, it's using like a very similar process. And the difference is the big issue is, are you in the language of the area that you are targeting? Gary said that was most important.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Apple may have developed a alternative to Google Maps that, from the write-up I'm reading, reads remarkably like Google Maps.
Yes.
I think the difference is it's probably going to be smaller, lighter, and well, this is Apple, prettier. But I don't. I mean, what do you think? Is there a huge difference between this and Google Maps?
I have a Mac computer, but an Android phone, so I haven't used Apple Maps. But it says now users can get driving and walking directions, okay, and find a great place with useful information, including photos, hours, ratings, reviews. Could they not do that before?
Yeah, but they called it
Like
Google's
that's been,
Maps.
yeah, that's like, I was like, that's been around for, I couldn't even tell you when those were added to Google Maps. It's gotta have been a decade by now. They also have a cool AR, like a virtual reality feature. The arrow will show you where to go when you're walking. It's really awesome. I got it around Amsterdam that way. But
You know what, you can get around Toronto and everyone will just tell you where to go.
well, but it's like useful information, ordering food directly from the map place card. I think you can do that at Google now. Look around is what I was just talking about, basically, where you can look around at things and get information, or it'll put an arrow to show you where to go. It's like a big old arrow too. It's cool. So it just sounds like it caught up with Google. But if you're an Apple user that's using Google Maps, and I know a lot of friends who have Apple phones do use Google Maps, it may have people switching back to using, a product that works with their system. So I'm not a big fan of Google Maps for driving. I use Waze. But for walking, it's great.
Now, you know what? I was asked an interesting question earlier today. This is for a company that does business on a national level, And they asked, should we put a Google map on our contact page, or will that restrict our rankings into the into like the local sphere? My response was, by all means, put a Google map on your page. You're giving Google and your users a whole bunch of information. And of course, Google is all about verification. This is another means of verification. It will help you in local search. Certainly, it probably won't limit you to local search by any means. And I'm wondering, can you use an Apple map in the same way? Can you give Google as much information via an Apple map as you can a Google map? I hope
I don't
so.
know. I just have to find out. I will say, I did not know this until I looked it up because of an SEO article that was released, one of those ones on ZeroClick, and found out that they weren't using Apple phones. Did you know Apple phones are like 50% of Google search?
Sure.
So, well, I didn't know it was that big. I thought it'd be big, but I didn't think it'd be like that big.
Oh, I would think the Apple phones are the pocket standard, are they not?
I don't know. Like every time someone up gets an update on Apple, I'm like, oh, I had that 5 years ago on my Android. Okay. So anyway, yeah, but Apple's people who love Apple love Apple. I love Apple computers. I just don't love Apple phones. And I'm brand agnostic. I need the tool to do what it needs to do. But you do want to get that being said, you do want to make sure that your business is set up on Apple Maps. Because Apple phones being 50% of Google search, you don't want to be out. You don't want to be missing in that map.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you want to make sure that you, when you're doing your setups, you don't just do Google Maps, but you also make sure you're in Apple Maps.
Okay, so if you are in local, this is again a cool innovation by Google that I hope is useful and I hope drives traffic to the pages it's supposed to drive them to. Google's testing a button in some local panels. Where you can search products with a camera. So, business profiles allow you to put images up and stuff. You can now search those images. Will that bring you back to, using Google Lens? Will that bring you back to the website of the business who you got the image from in the first place? I absolutely hope so. It better.
I'm really not understanding how you use a search products with camera in your phone. And I don't know what products you'd be searching. I mean,
Well,
it's
I
a
don't
shoe
know.
store. They show
There's a pair of
examples
boots
already.
that are really cool looking. But is that going to take me away from the Google Business profile to somebody else's store? Because there's
No,
other
just
cool looking boots out there.
from the display I'm looking at, it looks like it's inside the actual business profile. And you'd be searching their products, which I'm sure would come through Merchant Center or something.
Great. I
I
hope
just
it
don't know
works that
how
way.
I scan on my phone. I have to download the photo and then reload it in. I don't know. I'll have to see when it comes up and see how it actually works. So, yeah, I'm fairly disappointed most of the time with Lens. So I don't use it all that often, except when like somebody posts something strange online, like "What is this?" and I'm like, "Oh, let me go look in Lens." And about 50% of the time, I get an answer.
Okay, so it's been what, 9, 10 months of near constant update, eh? I mean, I think we've had June and July have been fairly tame and quiet.
Yeah, I'm very quiet. We had a couple months in the winter too, but we had some major updates, so I think that's it.
So up until, we'll say up until till the end of May or middle of May. Things were volatile all the time. I mean, there might have been a few months in the winter too. Sure. So recently, Adela Solis ran a poll, a small poll, 109 or so respondents, but all from the SEO ecosystem. And the results might surprise people in the SEO ecosystem. 54% said they have seen mostly positive effects from Google updates. 25% said they have not been affected, 18% said mostly negative, and 3% didn't know. The question, have websites you've consulted on in the last couple of years been positively or negatively affected by a Google update? So it's a wide open question and a very small sample size. But
yeah, it's only 109 responses, so it's not very reflective of much.
You know what? 110, I'd go with positive effect mostly. But that's the websites I've been working on.
Well, we deal with different sites. I deal with a lot of recoveries, so they come to me already broken. So I'm got like 8 sites I'm following with the negative effects from the helpful content or a core update back September, October, or the one from March, April. So so they would say very negative. So yeah, it's we'll see how it goes. John said, responded to the poll by saying, while there are exceptions, life as an SEO or when you're working on the web is not about doom or gloom. John hasn't met a client that's fallen off a cliff, has he?
Well, you do have a special niche in which you often see the worst of Google and worst of Google results, as a recovery person. But most SEOs are recovery persons in one way or another, eh? Although I guess you better be able to be.
Yeah. What I like about it though is you learn a lot, right? If I recover a site, I know what tricked the algorithm. I know what they were hit by for sure, because I know the dates the algorithms ran. And then I know what fixed it. So I can ignore all the pontificating that goes on out there about maybe it's this or maybe it's that. No, I know, because I did this and I did that, and they got 100% of the traffic back. So that's why I like. And I also like being able to help business owners, especially small businesses who, you know, I have a couple of people right now that got hit in September. They're almost out of money. So if this doesn't help them, they're going to have to close their businesses.
Which is tough.
Yeah.
Okay, we into our last 10 minutes, so we got a bunch of small, quick stories. Let's see if we can get our quick hits in as fast as possible, okay? And here's one that's really important.
Okay.
This was actually announced last Friday, so, you know, just after we recorded the show. Actually, this was announced quite a while ago, but it's been reiterated, and this is really important. If you used the Google URL shortener, any URL that was set up to redirect using goo.gl, after August 23rd, which is conveniently 1 month from today.
25th. They changed. Yeah, it's not the 23rd.
31 days in this month. I'm just, you know, averaging it out here.
I know you said the 23rd. Probably just didn't realize it.
So those things are going to start displaying an intestinal page. An intestinal page.
Intestinal page.
To, you know.
The same thing.
To notify users that the link is going to be suspended.
It's a big poo.
A year later, on August 25th, 2025, after that date, after August 25, 2025, so 1 year and a month from today, those URLs, billions of them, are going to 404. So starting next week, or starting next month, those links are going to produce a quick interstitial pop-up that says trouble's coming. A year from then, trouble's coming.
Yeah, it's just such an awful thing.
Christine?
URLs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that Majestic knows of 3.6 billion links, and there are 36 billion historical links in the database. When people were using those URL shorteners, especially when it was like social media was giving all these constrictions on like how many how much you could put in a box. Now, unfortunately, when Musk came back, they made it long again. But like Twitter for a while was just taking like five characters or 8 characters for no matter how long the URL was. So a lot of people use that. So there's a lot of important information on the web that's linked from those things. I just don't understand why Google can't just throw like everyone, like just revert it back to the link that went in to the system, unless they didn't store it, but I'm sure they did. So, and then just have it revert back. Like honestly, just a 404, all those things. I mean, I don't even know where my shortener links are. Do you know? I don't know where I use them.
I have no idea. They're out there. I mean, they're out there. Yeah, it's just been years. Who knows?
Yeah, because it's not like something you keep track of. You go, especially there was a few years there where you kept a shortener open all day so you could just shorten links. People have been paid for the service. They could shorten links and get things in the character count of the post. Twitter originally was 140 characters. You got like one link in there, like 10 words.
What I'm more concerned about is think of all the publishers who are going to suddenly have all these links to their articles just vanish.
Yes.
The effect of that is going to be loopy.
And actually, that would be a really good thing for publishers to audit starting, like, it's going to take you a long time if you're a big publisher. You know, get the get someone who knows about links, how to analyze links, because you can't just do it through the tools, and start looking for your Google shortened links, because I bet there's a whole bunch of them out there, the publishers.
Google's given you the great clue. They will publish an interstitial page for a percentage of the existing links. So they've given you a starting clue. Start banging those links, and you'll, you know, or start hitting links on all your website, whatever. Start tracing them back. Using Majestic might be your best bet there. And send a bot through them. If an interstitial comes up, that's the one. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you can go into tools and find out where the Google links are linked to. So maybe you could filter it out based on your site name or something.
Well, that might be something. That might work. Easier way, certainly.
Yeah.
Okay, so little teeny links on their way out, but Google's also testing what the good Google taketh away. Sometimes the good Google giveth back. Larger site name and favicon. So, you know, above the URL, they might give a say where the name of the website. You might see a search engine journal above a search engine journal article, or above the anchor text, the search engine journal article. That's the site name. Favicon is the little icon that appears beside the search result, like a corporate logo. Google's making both of those larger, so a bigger font for the site name. You'll know this is from BMW, and you'll really know because the BMW logo is right beside it, that sort of thing. But they're bigger.
Why?
attention's sake. My first thought was they were taking up room in the SERPs.
They are
in the search results, but it's minimal. It's minimal. We're talking millimeters here and there. I don't think if that's huge motivation. I think it's really just to catch eyeballs. It's a different look.
Yeah, I mean, they want to make sure their ad revenue is good this quarter. Like, I'm looking at them right now as a comparison of the two. And it's like the first one lets me see, like, my eye focuses on the headline.
Mm-hmm.
And my brain also generates that it's like from X company. And the other one's like, there's a big icon and it's the first place my eye goes. And I gotta force my eye to look around. So it's not a big deal. It's just why. Like, it seems to be no point to it. But you're probably right. It's probably something to do with ads. Yeah.
Google is also testing a save button for AI overview responses. So if you do a search and you get a AI overview that is particularly amazing and completely speaks to you and you need to save it, you can. Clicking that button will save the AI overview and the search you conducted to your interest section in Google.
I have an interest section in Google?
You do. How you access that is beyond me.
Oh, I don't think this is going to go the way they planned. Because now when they denied all those fake results, now someone would be like, oh no, I saved it to my special folder. Now you can save them if you find them helpful.
Okay. Google is reframing videos in its search results. Sort of like, you know, it's just changing the layout a bit of the search result page using gray lines outlining the video box. So if you see it on the search result page, you're not hallucinating. They're testing.
By the way, so when I click on a YouTube video now, it takes me to a Google page in between the link and Google, I mean YouTube, and the sound never works. It's weird. I don't know why they're doing it. So I'll click on a video and it goes to a white backed page. It's completely clean. It just has the video. So something like YouTube or whatever on it. And I play it and it never works. And I have to open it up in YouTube. But I don't know why they're doing that. I don't know.
I have not seen that myself.
Oh, okay. I'll take a video of it for you. Maybe I'll send it to Barry and see if other people have seen it. Yeah. It's just really, it's really strange. So I know that's not directly related to what they're talking about, but it just reminded me that I can't play it. I can't get any audio out of it. Anyway, now I totally diverted from the conversation because I've been up for 18 hours working.
That's okay. This might piss people off. At the risk of pissing people off, we're going to tell you this anyway. So Google Search is testing the use of AI overviews to provide video descriptions in Google Search results. So often people post a video, but don't post a description of that video. If that happens, Google will use AI to figure out what the video says and write a description for you. The description might read, AI overviews are experimental. And if you see that in a description of videos, it means that Google Gemini wrote it, or the description was adapted by Google Gemini. What
Oh,
we
I
don't
see.
know is, will it replace one that is already existent? If you've written a description, will Gemini come up with one that it thinks is better? That would piss me off.
Right now, it doesn't read, the article doesn't read like it would. Not that it couldn't, because we already know Google does that to titles and metas, which can really make a mess for people, especially people who have legal restrictions on their titles and metas. But yeah, I guess we'll see. Maybe we should just. Jim, maybe we should just make some fun fake videos and see
Make some real videos and see what happens.
what
Heck, monetize the experiment.
happens.
I mean, really? What's the point of
Exactly.
doing an experiment if you can't monetize it? This is
That's true.
2024 after all.
But we're both really mad at that. The
Indeed.
monetization part. By the way, I think we've gotten through like all our stories. Did we really?
I believe that we have.
That
I'm.
hasn't happened because I have one more quick story I forgot to put in the grid and I want to just tell people about it
What's that
real
up?
real fast. So apparently now when you're in Twixtor and you have you go over roll over someone's name. Oh wait, did it go away? It was there yesterday. It must have been a test. Hold on, let me double check. Make sure it's still there. They took it out. Okay, well, let's see if it comes back. When you roll over their name and the bottom, it would say like more information about this profile or something, and you click on it, and Grok would open up a window where your messages are, and it would write you about that account. And it would supposedly tell you stuff about the account. Always, it's always positive. Like, I took trolls and I tried it on it. It was like they write about interesting stuff sometimes with humor. Like, okay. But
Well,
it was interesting to see. So I am doing it right now, though I'm not seeing it. So
at least Grok is
it's
a friendly
possible it was a
fellow.
test. Yes.
You know, and it's
Grok is a
funny, of
friendly
all
fellow.
the AIs out there, Grok seems to be the nicest, like purposefully.
I haven't really used it much, so I don't know. But I did test it on a few accounts yesterday to see what kind of result I would get.
Well,
And it's not bad at all.
Grok has not turned out like I thought it would. I had really, really low expectations. I thought this thing was going to get racist real fast, and I'm surprised it hasn't. But it hasn't. So, you know, that is my litmus test. I'm okay with it. And it's a low test, I know, but there you go.
There you go. Well, we don't expect much from.
Okay, we have. You know what we have done? This is actually,
What's
we've gone a
that?
whole hour around the clock.
And we got through all our stories and we
And
added an extra one. Wow, I'm impressed with us today.
I am too. See, that's timing.
Oh,
You know what we didn't do though at the very beginning, which we absolutely should have. We didn't send the
yes.
love to Audience Key,
Yes,
to our
audience
sponsor
key.
Audience Key, and to Wix Studio.
Promising. Yes, our new sponsor, Wix Studio, which is awesome. And I saw Morty from Wix doing a bit on Wix Studio yesterday, video, sharing a video about it. So it looks very interesting.
You know what? I have not seen that yet. I look forward to seeing. Could you shoot me the URL, or I just type in Morty Wix and see what comes up? I'm gonna try Morty
Probably.
Wix and see what comes up. That usually works. Okay, that's it. We've gone full clock. So on behalf of Christine Schackinger from Sites Without Walls, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. Folks, you've been listening to Webcology recorded live to podcast on the 25th of July, 2024. Special thanks again to Audience Key and to Wix Studio, to Ricky and Brasco in the studio, and Darren and Brandy in the front office there. Rank well, be kind to each other, and Christine and I will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye, everybody. Have a good week.